Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
But open with me the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Basically, my brief story about this will cover Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50. But we are not going to read all those chapters because we don't have all the time. So we're going to be reading some pieces. But Genesis 37 from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 3 for the first portion. And then we'll read another portion. We'll jump a little bit and then we'll go to the other scriptures. So Genesis 37, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
So it's a story about Joseph. And Joseph.
Thank you. So it's a story about Joseph being born with his brothers, and Jacob is his son. So we're reading on verse number 1. The title in my Bible says, Joseph Dreams of Greatness. Amen. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Last week we tackled a little bit of that, you know, this land was apportioned to the Israelites by God. And we saw also that by the time God was telling them to occupy that land, there were already people there. Okay? And this verse is reminding us, say, he was like more of a stranger in that land, but God had given them that land. This is the history of Jacob. Jacob being 17 years old. So we're going to be talking about somebody who is 17 years old and drawing our lessons from the age of 17 upwards. Amen. So there's no excuse. Age is not something we can use to say, I'm still young, I'm still little. We are reading a great story here about somebody who was a teenager. Amen. So Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. His father's wives and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now to me, it looks like, you know, you've got a lot of children in the house, and you've got the little one who loves to come and tell the story of how everybody's behaving. Yeah, tell them, did you hear? Okay, so Nicole did ABCD. Okay, so you also have done your stuff, but you want to make sure that the elder one is seen doing other stuff. So Joseph is coming with a report about the bad that has happened by his brothers. And that's not our topic today and our concentration. Now Israel, meaning Jacob, remember, he had an encounter and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. I'll be depending on your echoing so that I know I'm not alone. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Others love to call it a coat of many colors because he loved him so much, so dearly, more than any of his children. You should keep that. It's going to help us. But when his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph hasn't done anything, okay? He didn't campaign for him to be loved. He didn't choose to be born in the old age when his father was a little bit older. So his father chooses to love him so dearly, more than any of the children. And that does not go well with the brothers. Usually there's the favorite one in the house. The one you can spare the rod. The one you can say, this one, you can understand him, or you can understand him. So Joseph seemed to be that kind of a kid in the house. Now, the brothers are noticing that, wait a minute, we are all loved. But Joseph is dearly loved. Highly regarded, as Pastor would call it. Highly regarded among all of us. And he is so much loved by his father. And that brings trouble to Joseph and his life. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he didn't keep it to himself. He had a dream and told it to his brothers, and they hated him the more. He is already loved so much by the father, and that brings hatred and jealousy, and he keeps telling them, now I have a dream. I had a dream last night, and hear my dream, and this doesn't go so well with his brothers. Amen. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves, my brothers, stood all around and bowed to my sheaf. Are you hearing that dream? If you were a brother to Joseph, I don't think you'd be smiling so much about that. Now, I would go in their mind to think that, now he is loved by the father, but it seems like there's also something special about this young man, about this young boy. And he's telling us a dream. Before asking us what this dream means, we already know that he insinuates that we're going to bow to him. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? Now they got the meaning of the dream. They now understand what the dream means. Okay. So they hated him even more. I don't know how many times you're counting, how many times the Bible is telling us they hated him. They hated him a little bit more. They hated him even more. I think it's now about 3 times. So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And I can also add for the love of the Father upon him. Amen. Verse number 9. Then he dreamt still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamt another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he taught this dream not only to his brothers, but to his father also. And his brothers also. And his father rebuked Joseph and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall your mother and I and your brother together indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers, now look at what verse 11 is saying. We have been talking about hate even more, but number 11 says his brothers now envied him. Amen. But his father kept the matter in mind. Similar to what Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. So used to keep things in the heart. So not only women who keep things in the mind, even we also do that. We are masters. You may not know it, but we keep also things in the mind, in the heart. Now, we're just going to pause a little bit there. And maybe just go to verse number 23-24, and then we can cruise. Verse number 23 of the same chapter. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. If you read the whole story, you see the building up of events. He's now going to see his brothers. He's got food and all that. Now because of the hatred, now because of the envy, because of the jealousy, and everything is building up, they now plot to make sure they kill Joseph, so that they don't hear about this dream anymore. They don't hear about him telling him about them bowing down to Joseph. So their plot is to make sure they deal with their own brother, their own blood, and make sure they kill him. So on verse number 23, it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. I hope you understand by tunic. A tunic is a what? It's a cloth. Tovala, right? the coat of many colors that we're talking about. So they strip him off of the cloth, and the tunic of many colors that was on him, that also his father made. Remember, because this was a special gift from his father. His father who dearly loved Joseph more than the other brothers. Those facts are going to help us. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. Thank God the pit was empty. Remember, Isaiah talks about these things, that even when we go through the fire, it's going to be the fire, but it's not going to burn us. We go through the waters, but it will not, you know, come above or beyond us. Now, it is so good that the pit that they chose was empty. There was nothing in it. God's plan. Amen. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in the pit. Verse number 28. After that, after they do all this, if you read on verse number 25, you see that now they sit down and begin to enjoy the meal that Joseph had actually brought. Okay? It's a very interesting story. So we have thrown Joseph in the pit. Now maybe we need to eat and think more about what we're going to do. And Reuben, if you read the story well, you see that Reuben had another plan. He wanted to make sure that, actually it was him who recommended that good plan, to say, let's not kill him. He's our brother. His blood shouldn't be on our hands. Let's just, you know, throw him in the pit. Good plan. But now they're eating, and Reuben is thinking, maybe after this eating, I'm going to sneak around and maybe get out, my brother out of the pit. But if you go to verse number 28, now there are people passing by, and the plan changes. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit. And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Amen. Now, when Joseph was waking up this morning, he never had a plan or an idea of how this day is going to end. He was sent to go to his brothers, give them food, give them lunch. The plan is going on so well. It doesn't occur to him, as much as he has dreams, as much as God speaks to him, but on this particular occasion, he doesn't know what will unfold in this day. But the journey that began from his father's house with food and lunch to his brothers is now ending in Egypt after he has been sold. Amen. After he's been sold into slavery. So, we read, today's focus today, I'm just going to talk about two people. So I'm going to talk about Joseph, and then I'm going to end with Paul. So we see that at 17 years old, God is already directing Joseph and showing him the plan he has for him. And he's getting excited by the dreams he's getting, sharing with his brothers. I wouldn't blame him. These are his blood brothers. These are his family. Sometimes we do share, you know, deep things with our family because we trust them. We believe they can pray with us, pray for us, and help our dream or help us realize our dream. Probably that's what was moving in Joseph's mind. These are my brothers. They are not strangers to me. We eat in the same plate. Our father is the same. So there's nothing wrong with Joseph sharing this dream or these dreams to his family. These are his family. Whatever the family or the brothers do is on them. It's not on Joseph. So we see he's been sold into slavery. And as you go in the preceding chapters, this is where now he moves into Mr. and Mrs. Potiphar's house in Egypt. Okay? So he's sold into slavery, and once he's bought by a governor in Egypt, Potiphar and his wife, being put in charge of their house and everything they have, right there when Joseph begins to think like, maybe things are getting better for me, at least I was in the pit. Now I am in this good mansion, in a good house. Maybe things are settling down. Maybe this is where God wanted me to be. and my dream will come to pass. And right there in Potiphar's house, he's accused of rape. He became a powerful leader later in this story in Egypt. But as you go into the tracks of his journey, you see that even at a point where he thought that things are getting better, is when things started getting worse. So off the Ishmaelites, into Potiphar's house, everything is okay. The Bible tells us that even Potiphar trusted him so much and gave him the freedom and the power in the entire house. We even see that in the conversation between Potiphar's wife and Joseph. And he says, no, he has given me power over everything here. But I cannot do this thing you are asking me to do because I fear the Lord. I don't fear my master. I fear the Lord. I know my master is not in the house, but God sees me wherever I was, wherever I am. Amen. Amen. So we see that in his story, Joseph has gone through so many things that are actually opposing the dreams that he had. Later on, as we'll be reading in Genesis 50, verse 20, he tells his brothers that everything that you did, everything that you've done, you meant it to deal with me. You meant it for evil, but God saw the greater good. God saw that you will need me one day. So we see that for 13 years, Joseph's life kept on being in different pits. The first pit put by his brother, the other pit put by Potiphar, when he said, I know my wife cannot lie. She says, you wanted to rape her. So wanting to rape her, you did. So now off to prison you will go. That was the second pit that Joseph was put into. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when things start getting better, like I said earlier, is when you see that everything is now going down and it's not going according to plan. And sometimes you begin to question what God showed you or what God spoke to you or what you believe the Lord spoke to you about the future. Amen. Now, if we go back to the story, the first verses we read, that what put Joseph in trouble was not necessarily whatever he did. He didn't sin. The Bible doesn't tell us that. He was only loved by his father. And that put Joseph in trouble. Maybe you have seen it sometimes at your workplace. You being the one who is more loved, dearly cared for, you know, everybody begins to question what's going on between you and Abuana. Okay? What's going on between you and the CEO? Now that everything that is happening, they say, no, you better give it to him. He does it better. Okay? Everything, every opportunity that comes, say, ah, no, I have somebody in mind, and it is always you. You have done nothing wrong. The Abuana loves you. We thank God. But the brothers are looking at like, huh? What is so special about him? What is so special about her? What is it that she does better that we don't do? We that actually taught her how to do these things. Relating to Joseph's love that he received from his father. So we have people that will react towards that all around us. It happens all the time. And like I said, you see that his brothers were the ones that he actually trusted so much. After all, they are his family. Amen. Sometimes it's the people that we love so much, we trust so much, are so close to us so much, that hoard the betrayal key. Because you will not see it coming. Amen. Because you will not see it coming. But it is because of jealousy and hatred of what is happening in our lives. Where there is no love, you should be assured that that's a breeding ground for hatred, for jealousy, and all kinds of ungodliness. And anything can happen. Amen. Amen. So we better check well who we are trusting, even our dreams to. Sometimes we get excited when the Lord is showing us things about us, and we go around like Joseph sharing it all, and and we don't know who we are sharing the vision to. We better check so well who we are trusting our dreams into. Every idea, every business, everything that we do, we better ask God to help us check so well. Because there are always people around us who are ready to hate, who are ready to throw us in the pit, who are ready to do everything possible so that you do not go forward or you do not achieve what God has purposed for you to achieve. Now, the purpose of today's sermon is actually to go through that. To say it's in God's plan that we go through these things so that he can take us to where he has planned. Amen. He says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the plans I have for you. So if it is part of his plan, he's going to allow everything to happen to us, just like Joseph, so that he pushes us to where he wants us to be. Amen. So whether we're going to be sold to the Ishmaelites or be sold into slavery, but as long as it is part of God's plan, we're going to learn after the sermon today that it is all going to work to our good. Romans 8, eh? Amen. Now, in the midst of this story, what Joseph does is to continue to love God, is to continue to trust God, and God assures him of his very presence, even when he is in the pit, even when he is in the prison. Amen. You see, when he was sold to the Ishmaelites for a few shekels, 20 only of silver, I don't know how much that would be today. You can check around and convert. But it wasn't that much money. It is like the money that Brother Judas used to get, you know, just to sell intel about where Jesus is going to be tonight. A little money, you know, a little incentive. You know, sometimes there are these little things that the devil will whisper to us. They say, if you do this, you know, your work is going to go. Your career is going to blossom. Just sign. Just sign here. Just sign here. And most of the time we don't even read it, what we are signing for. Just sign here and everything is going to be fine. But even when he was sold to the Ishmaelites and he gets his ticket to Egypt, it was still better. Because now he was in the pit. Now he's gone to Egypt. That was like an upgrade. Yeah. He gets to Egypt and then things happen so much. But God knows that the best way to make sure this dream that I've given to Joseph to come to pass, it is not in his father's house. It is not with the Ishmaelites. It is not in Potiphar's house. It has got to be in prison. So that's what God is working on in Joseph's life. When he got to prison, we read there that he meets people in the prison. If you go to chapter 40 of the same book, chapter 40, verse number 14. Even there in prison, he meets people that are needing his services, his help. In verse number 14, this is the time now. I think let's go back to Genesis 39 before we go to 40. Let's just go back to the previous chapter. 39, and I'm going to read verse number 21. Yeah, this is the verse I was looking for. I'll start from verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. And showed him. Are we still reading the Bible? He showed him what? Mercy. The Lord was with Joseph. In the palace. Where? In the prison. The Lord was with Joseph in the prison. And he showed him mercy. Right there in the prison. He showed him mercy. And he gave him favor. Let's be responding. We are together. He gave him favor right in the prison. in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, this is a point that I was looking for earlier. That sometimes even when we are going through these hard things, you are questioning why everything is happening. But if it is God who has ordained your beat, he will be with you.
Amen.
And he will give you mercy.
Amen.
And he will give you even favor.
Amen.
It will keep getting worse. But as for you, the Lord will be with you.
Amen.
Now, I remember now what Paul had said. He said, even at my first defense, when Demas and everybody else ran away from me, but the Lord stood with me. He was with me. Brothers and sisters, it's very important for the Lord to be with us.
Amen.
In every season of our lives.
Hallelujah.
Because you know, sometimes we go through things, but we are alone. God is not in whatever we are going through.
Amen.
We need to check. Because sometimes we complain, say, maybe it is the Lord's doing, but the Lord is not there. Everything that is happening because of maybe what we have done. We needed to fix something somewhere. But if the Lord has ordained that pit for you, that pit, you're not going to run away from it.
Amen.
And he will make sure you go to that pit.
Amen.
He will devise a plan from your brothers. Now, it will come from the people you love so dearly. The people you share these little secrets with. So that they will know you better. The Lord's doing. Throw you in the pit. Sell you to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites hand you over to Potiphar. And Potiphar will make up something and throw you into the final pit, where God's plan will be realized. God's ordained pit for me, God's ordained pit for you, will come with mercy. It will come with favor. It will come with his presence. And that's where people wonder, you are going through a lot, but why are you composed? Why is everything still going on well, despite that everything is in chaos? It is because the Lord is with me.
Amen.
In my pit.
Amen.
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 So now turn to your neighbor and ask them, who is with you in your pit? Amen. Who is with you? Who is standing with you? Everybody is speaking against you. Fine, that's going to happen. But who is standing with you? That matters. That matters so much. And that changes everything for me. Hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph. And he gave him, he showed him mercy. And gave him favor even in prison. Even being given in charge as chief prisoner. In the pit. We are all in the pit. But among us, the people in the pit, I am the chief, most favored, highly regarded. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we cry so much about the things that are happening around us, and we forget that it is God who is ordering our steps.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that should give us peace. That should give us, should settle everything for us. So the Lord was with him. In our affliction, the moments that we are going through that doesn't seem to align with our plans, let's cry for his mercy. Let's cry for his presence, that he be with us and that he ordains our pit. Amen. So don't worry. If you're in a pit, just check who is with you. If the Lord is with you, make a cup of tea. It is settled.
Amen.
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 But the Lord stood with me. That poor thing. The Lord was with me. We see that our broken moments, the moments of pain, our pit moments, are all a preparation. What God is doing to prepare us for something bigger, but we can't see it. Because even here yesterday during the training, Pastor Daniel said, we are limited by our sight. We begin only to plan because we have seen. Okay? Or, okay, fine, we have read somewhere. And we begin to say, that can also be done. So the Bible says, God telling Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, that's how much I'm going to give you. But it's not about this sight. It is something bigger. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Lord is with us. He will ordain our steps. Now, in the same prison, he meets the cupbearer, the chief cupbearer fellow, and the chef. And in where we went and we came back, in chapter 40, we're just going to read where now Joseph is, you know, speaking to these people. I implore you, read these chapters. You're going to enjoy them. So in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 14, the story is coming from where Joseph is interpreting the dreams, okay? He's interpreting the dream for the cupbearer and also for the chef. After he has taught them the dream, he's asking them for a favor. They are all in prison. And he says to him, "But remember me when it is well with you. Brother, when you come out of the prison, remember me." We were all here, okay, sharing our sorrows in prison. But when you get out, please remember me, okay? And please show kindness to me. I have suffered. I would imagine maybe Joseph telling this cupbearer in prison, "Where I'm coming from, you don't know. I was thrown into the pit, not by my enemies, but by my own brothers. And then I was sold into slavery. And that's where I'm coming from. When I was in that house, I took care of everything for Potiphar. But I was thrown into this pit of prison. So remember me. I have suffered." No, there are some times when you've gone through stuff and then you end up helping people. When you help them, as you see, as you read in the scripture, when you help them, their things will actually change. Okay? Their situation will actually get better. But yours, it is as if the Lord has ordained that yours will not change. So you see later that this cupbearer actually gets out of prison. The chef also gets out, but the interpretation of the dream pointed that he's going to be hanged, he's going to be killed. And that actually happens. So the cupbearer goes out. But Joseph is still where? In prison. He's still in the pit. We have asked ourselves that question. I'm helping them. I'm counseling them. Why are my things still stuck? Why are my things not moving? You should understand your position now. Because in your pit, you've been put deliberately and positioned so that you may be of service to someone. But your time is not yet. Because what is for you is much bigger than what this armor bearer or cup bearer is going to receive. So your preparation is still going on. Amen. So don't worry when other people are getting out of the prison when you are still there. But he says, "Remember me when it is well with you. When Pharaoh remembers you and reinstates you, please remember me. Brother, you've seen how we have suffered together here." And he says, "Please make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Get me out of this pit. Get me out of this prison." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, just allow me to read chapter 20, verse 20 and 23 of the same. Verse 20. Let's just go to verse 20. "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then," verse number 21, "he restored the chief butler to his battership again." Remember what Joseph said? When it is well with you, this is now the point, eh? When it is well with you, because he knew God is going to reinstate this guy. And Pharaoh reinstated him and blessed, and he began to serve Pharaoh. Verse number 1, he restored the chief butler to his battership again, and he placed a cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted. Yet the chief butler, who was with Joseph in prison, whom Joseph had asked for a favor to remember him when it is well with him, what did he do? Did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Happens all the time. Remember me. When you get that job, please remember. There are children here. When it goes well with you, please remember us. But moments of being forgotten are part of the game. Remember, if it is God ordaining your pit, he's going to give mercy to you. That doesn't mean that the people you ask for a favor will favor you. It doesn't mean that the people you ask for mercy will show mercy to you. It doesn't mean that because you've been good to so many people, they're going to be so good to you. Remember me when it is well with you. But when it was well with the butler, The Bible tells us that he did not remember Joseph. And adds at the end, and in case you didn't get it, he forgot him.
Amen.
Not remembered and forgotten. Double wahala there.
Amen.
Amen. And Joseph didn't do anything wrong again. He only asked for a favor. He recounted, you know, telling the background in verse number 14 and 15 where we read. He said, you know, for I was indeed stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also have done nothing here, even here in Egypt. I didn't do anything that they should put me in this dungeon. You know what is going on in the mind of Joseph? He just wants to get out of prison. And probably what he's thinking, the favor he's asking the butler is that when you remember me, so Pharaoh should take me out of prison. The plan of Joseph, as I'm seeing it, is not settled in Egypt. He's thinking of going back to his family. Probably that's what is going on in his mind. But God has a bigger plan than what he's thinking. Amen. Because you see what he's saying here. He says, I didn't do anything wrong. I was actually stolen from my land. And I've been put in this dungeon for doing nothing wrong. So please mention my name to Pharaoh so that he can release me. And probably if Joseph is released, he's going to be saying, which way to my father? I need to go back and tell him the truth. But God says, no, that's not my plan. I actually have planned so much bigger plans than what you're asking for. When Joseph was in the pit, I want you to figure this, to look at this. When Joseph was in the pit, maybe what was going on in Joseph's mind was, can I just get out of this pit? Who is going to take me out of the pit? And when the Ishmael were passing, maybe he said, thank God you heard my prayer. I am out of this pit. He didn't know he's going to be sold. But when Joseph was in that pit, God knew something. He had planned something bigger. He was already visualizing and seeing the Israelites in the land of Goshen. Even at this point, remember what God says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. So we can actually safely conclude that even when Joseph was in the pit, even when Joseph was put in prison, the plan of God was much bigger. He actually had planned to say, I need somebody to send ahead so that when the time comes, we will need to have somebody in position. And then the children of Israel should prosper. If Joseph was not thrown into that pit, it would have been very hard. I don't think it would have been possible for the Israelites to get themselves to Egypt and even to be allocated a land in Goshen. Thank God for the pit that Joseph was thrown into. Sometimes the things we are going through are a breeding ground for something that is bigger than our plans. We are praying, God, get me out of this pit. But God is saying, no, I'm building you up. I'm building you up. Everybody hates me in my office. No, it's okay. It's part of the plan. I'm making you. You're going to become the next CEO. So if I get you out now, it's not going to work. But you need to accumulate all these experiences. So when the time comes, you should be able to see that it was me behind it. It wasn't your CV. It wasn't your experience. It was not your brothers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank God for the ordained pit for our lives.
Amen.
Brother Martin loves that song. Say, what the enemy meant for evil? Eh? So it's only him who has gotten what I'm saying. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Now, let's go quickly, because of time, to Genesis chapter 45. Verse number 45. What you should do, do yourself some favor and read this story from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. You're going to appreciate what God is doing in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 45 verse number 5. The Bible says, but now do not therefore be grieved or be angry with yourself because you sought me here, for God sent me before you to preserve your life.
Amen.
That's the plan that Joseph is actually realizing. We have done fast forward. Eh? So now, everything has happened. There was a dream that Pharaoh had. Now the cupbearer remembers that if it comes to dreams, There is someone else I know. He interpreted my dream and it came to pass. That was God's ordained time for Joseph to be remembered. God had already put in his plan that Pharaoh will be troubled at some point. This Kapela should forget Joseph for now until that dream comes. When that dream comes, he will know and remember that when I was in prison, there was a fellow prisoner who interpreted my dream. I don't think he's remembering because Joseph said, remember me. Because the Bible already has told us he was forgotten and not remembered. But he's remembering because of the dream. That this kind of dream can only be interpreted by one prisoner. And King, I know the prisoner. His name is Joseph. Amen. So God is not going to use your timeline. He has his. And he will not be moved. He will do what pleases him. And the Bible says he will show mercy to him who he chooses to show mercy at a particular time. So when the time is right, I, the Lord, what does the Bible say? I will make it happen. When the time is right, the Lord, I, the Lord, will make it happen. And this is the right time for Joseph as we look in his plans. For I know the plans I have for you. So, everything has happened, and now Joseph is the governor, from a prisoner, from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to the another pit, to the dungeon, and from the dungeon to being the governor. It didn't come so easy. It came through a lot of pain that Joseph had to go through. But it was all in the plan of God. You might be in a pit right now. You might be going through some moments that are not making sense in your life. I've already asked you and encouraged you that if it is the Lord that has ordained that pit, be at ease, because everything is going to work together for your good. Amen. Amen. Maybe it is possible that the Lord is seeing something bigger than what you are actually envisioning. Maybe it is possible that the Lord is building something better in you and he wants you to go through it. So he tells them that don't worry. It was God preparing the way for all of the Israelites, not only you, but everybody else that belong to our tribe. Now let's just jump to Genesis chapter 50 and read verse number 20. But we begin from that verse number 19. 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God in heaven saw the pit, saw Potiphar's house, saw his accusations, saw him throwing me in the dungeon, saw the prison, and meant it for my good, in order to bring about, as it is in this day, to save many people. Not only to save my family, but to save many people. Hallelujah. Pastor Daniel spoke something amazing. Now, as you're hearing me saying, Pastor Daniel, we should now push you to attend the trainings. Because we are hearing so many things that are really impacting our lives. He says, there was a prayer he was hearing. Some prayers that I love sometimes. But he gave us a caution to say, we should show mercy to one another. Amen. Even in the press of prayer. Amen. So when we know we have been wronged and been wounded, and we are justified to pay back, it is a very perfect and best time to show mercy. Amen. And it actually conquers so well with what Joseph is saying. He says, am I God? Am I God to execute judgment upon you? For it is only him who is permitted to judge. Me too, I am a sinner. Okay? Remember, he had showed him mercy when he was in prison. So he remembered the same mercy that God showed me. We read last week that God doesn't treat us according to the number of our iniquities and our sin or what we have done. He shows us mercy. And he extends the same to us. That in the place where we feel so justified, to say now it is payback time. That is the time you need to play to show the mercy card. To say, I forgive you. because God has forgiven me. Hallelujah. So every moment we are going through stuff, God is teaching us to show mercy more. To show mercy more. Hallelujah. So God saw that he needed to bring the Israelites to Egypt, even to a land that was really so nice, Goshen. A land where everybody was flourishing, but the other part of Egypt, everything was going, you know, scrambling and going so down. But it all came because Joseph was put in that pit. So if you're going through tough times, if you are in any pit, I want you to begin to think and ask God, to say, God, what's your plan for me in this pit? Other than saying, God, take me out. Because you might abort God's plan. You might abort what is incubating in you. There is something bigger that is working in you. Amen. That is why when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he says, when you pray, ask him so that his will be done. Amen. His will be done right here where we are, as it is in heaven. Meaning, that portion of prayer, meaning that there's a picture in heaven about me. There's a picture of how God sees me in heaven. And my duty is to pray that the same way the plan of God, the same way God sees me in heaven, I should manifest right here. That should be my prayer. I can see a car passing by and envy it. I can begin to pray that, Father, I need a Ford Ranger. But is it in God's plan in heaven that I should drive that Ford Ranger? Ford Ranger is good, though. But God, it has to align with his plan about my life.
Amen.
See, pray that as it is in heaven. only Martin will understand that word. God bless you. As it is in heaven, so let it be here on earth. That's a powerful word to align our prayer. Because sometimes we go ahead and make a lot of noise before the Father. And he checks in his plans. He's like, Angel Gabriel, did you erase my plans? Because what he's saying, I can't find it. But God is full of mercy. Amen. So whatever Joseph went through, every part of pain and brokenness was part of the equation for him to be the governor of Egypt. As we wrap up on Joseph and quickly go to Paul, because what we're going to do with Paul is just quickly go to Paul and pray, because there are praying points on Paul. I'm begging you, by the mercies of the Lord, check again what the Lord is allowing you to go through. It might be part of his plan. But if it's part of his plan, mercy, remember, favor, and he will make sure that it will not crush you. Paul says we are crushed down. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. We are not forgotten. God knows our name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 25. Paul is actually summarizing the things he's gone through. I will request you to read. I've been reading a lot of Acts recently. I'll request you at some point also to read Paul's journey from his conversion and when he got to Christ and all the way to the end. You really love Paul's story. So in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 25, Paul is saying something spectacular, something amazing. And he says, as for me, my addition, three times I was beaten with rods. How many times? Three times. Once I was stoned. How many times stoned? Once. Three times I was shipwrecked. You know what it means to be shipwrecked? You're on a ship and it breaks down. Right there in the middle of the sea. That's what it means. It breaks apart. It breaks apart. How many times? Three times. This is Paul's CV, by the way. I don't know what's in your CV. It's not anything present. But this is Paul's CV. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And at the time that Paul was stoned, the Bible says, even the people that were stoning him thought that he was dead. And they left him for dead. It is not just like taking one stone and throwing at you. It is a time that he was hidden in stones. And he said, now he's dead, let's go. And that's when the mercy of God was shown to him. And he came out. And it's very fascinating if you read that chapter. Immediately from the stones, Paul rises up and goes to preach the gospel. If it were you and me, would say, where are the stoners? You thought I would die. I have come back. Payback time. It is time to show mercy. Paul, remember, my mission, although it went through the stones, I still need to go and preach the gospel. So he says, once I was stoned, three times beaten, three times we were on the sea, and our ship was ripped apart. Three times. Man, this is not a prison CV. You and I, when we are putting up a CV, we make sure we put the sweet, sweet things, eh? And sometimes the things that maybe we didn't so do. Okay? So that we convince the hire, okay? The one who employs us to say, look at this CV. So good. No, this one is shallow, but this CV speaks to what we are looking for. But Paul's CV in ministry says, three times beaten, once stoned, three times shipwrecked. I don't know what's in our CVs about our love for God, what God has allowed us to go through. Now, when Paul's saying I was beaten three times, we will not read, but you can just write. You find that in the book of Acts 16, verse 22, Acts 16, verse 23, Acts 21, verse 32. Those are the encounters that he's actually mentioning, sometimes in instances where he was actually beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, Acts 14, verse number 5, and also Acts 14, verse number 9. Very amazing stories. You should go and read them. Amen. Three times I was shipwrecked. That one we should read, because it's part of our story now. Acts 27. Amen. Acts 27. Oh boy. Once I was stoned. Now, if you read the entire chapter, it's a very amazing story. Paul has been grappling with a case. Pastor, the other week, preached about the chaos, the demonstrations that were happening in Ephesus. That people shouted for hours and hours. Great is Artemis, the god of what? Remember that, eh? Now, the soldiers come and seize Paul to protect him, and they put him in prison. And beginning from that chapter, all the way to the end of that chapter, Paul is struggling to make sure that he is heard and he's given a fair trial. He's actually trying to prove that he's a Roman citizen, sometimes proving that he's a Pharisee. He was very clever. Sometimes proving that he's that and that. But all in a way to get justice for himself. And he says, I'm a lawman. You cannot judge me before hearing my part. But what God is doing in these moments that Paul is going through, he actually told him that, I want you to testify about me. And the way God wants him to testify about him is allowing Paul to go through all this pain. Amen. Amen. Remember, if your beat is ordained by the Lord, he will make sure you go through it, because he knows it is only that time you can share the gospel to the audience he's bringing you to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we see that Paul goes from court to court. At a certain time, the people were very tired of Paul being kept by the soldiers. And they sat down and plotted. We were praying about this yesterday. They sat down and plotted 40 people. They said, as for us, we are 40. We are making a covenant. And the Bible says it was a very strong covenant. We are not going to eat or drink. In other words, we are going into a fasting. And our fasting, our agenda is Paul. And the Bible says we are going to fast. No food, no water, until we kill Paul. It is right there in your Bible. Until we kill Paul. Fasting. Fasting. We're talking about fasting. You fast to see God. Other people fast so that your things will not go well. And they say we are going to make sure we have a pact. And the Bible calls it a strong pact. And you would think they would hide it. The Bible says they even went to the judge. Say, judge, we have agreed. And not only two people, 40 of us. We are not eating, we are not drinking, until we kill Paul. And now here is the plan. You tell the commander-in-chief the army, to bring Paul tomorrow.
Yes.
These people. And then tell them that I wanted to ask him a few more questions.
Yes.
And then when you're doing that, we're going to seize Paul and kill him. And to make sure our plan is achieved, we need to fast. We need to not drink or not eat. Now, those of you who joined the Friday special prayers, now, these days in KICC, there's no excuse for you not to pray. Okay, I'm not in Lilongwe, join the Friday prayers, because we are praying online, knowing that God is everywhere, omnipresent. That's the card we are using. We read a verse, Isaiah 54, verse number 15. We love verse number 17, and I love it. But verse number 15, my own interpretation, God says, gathering they will gather. Eh? But if it is not in my agenda, if it is not me who has ordained their gathering, my version says, they will gather to scatter.
Amen.
What it means is, they will still gather, they will still say, we will fast 40 of us to deal with you, but whatever they agree, it will not hold. They will write in their memo or their minutes. Give us that verse, Isaiah 54, verse number 15. They will write their agenda and agree, this is what we're going to do about them. But it will not hold, that says the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't be worried if people are gathering. Let them gather. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, let them gather.
Amen.
Now tell them again.
Amen.
Because it's prophetic. Do you know the theme for March? Unstoppable progress. Now, the word unstoppable cannot be there if there's no one trying to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
The word unstoppable has to be there if there are forces trying to hold you back, trying to stop you. And God is saying, in this month, unstoppable progress. You are going ahead no matter what. So gathering, they will gather. Surely, and the Bible says surely, they will assemble. But not because of me. It is not me who has ordained this meeting. So if there are meetings happening anywhere, let them meet. Whether board meetings, whether decisions are making, thank God, let them meet. I am going to sleep. As long as it's not Friday night that we are praying. So I'm going to sleep. And let them, you know, waste their night and gather. But I know it will not hurt. It's all futile. It's all vanity. It will not hurt. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Now, you can only speak that if the Lord is with you.
Amen. Amen.
Some of these quotes we quote, the Bible, the verses we quote, the devil is like, oh, not you. Remember the sons of Sceva, eh? Says, not you. At least Paul, in our CV, we know. Okay? He was beaten 3 times. We stoned him. We stoned him once. We have come across him. We know him. Jesus, we know. But you, what's your identity? In our CV, we don't see you. In our database, we don't see you as somebody who can command us to stop. These things have got spiritual laws. You can only command something to stop if you are above it. Amen? If you are beneath it, forget about it. So what this verse applies to them that walk with God, that the Lord is with them. It's not for everyone, unfortunately, sorry. It's not good news, but it's just the truth. So just work it out and make sure that you and God are in good terms. Because now you say, gathering, they'll gather. But they'll gather to scatter. You can now confidently say, and things will be like that. Hallelujah. It will not hurt. And I think yesterday we also read another verse. I think it was Isaiah 7:7. Says, it will not happen.
Yes.
Just put it there so we can still believe what I'm saying is still in the Bible. It says, it will not happen. It will not come to pass, says the Lord. Amen. Those are some of the verses you use when you're praying. When you and God are on the same side, are not strangers. Now, quickly, verse number 1 of chapter 27. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, because Paul had now pushed and appealed to say, I need to be heard by Caesar. And he said in the previous chapter, you have applied to Caesar, you want to see, go Caesar. Okay, to Caesar you shall go. Actually, it's written like that. Okay? You say, you shall go to Caesar. Now, they are now taking him to that journey. And they begin on verse number 1. So they say, When it was decided that we shall sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners. So now he has been added with other prisoners and to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regime. One cool, one gondo, somebody who was now in charge of the soldiers. So entering a ship of Adramantium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day, we landed at Sidon. Remember Sidon last week? And the woman that came from there. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Now, remember, Joseph is in prison. But what does God do? He gives him mercy, he gives him favor, even to the in charge. It happens the same here. He's a prisoner. He's with other prisoners. But Julius is showing kindness to him because God has ordained his speech. Amen. It comes with benefits. That's why David said, do not forget the Lord's benefit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we are going through things, God still finds a way to put someone somewhere ordained by him. You will not even understand where they came from, but they are there to fulfill his mission in your life. Let's jump to verse number 9 and 10, and you'll do the reading at your own pace. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous, the fast was already over, and Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster, and it will end with much loss, not only of the cargo, but also of the sheep, but also of our lives. As we are starting this journey, we should not continue, because what I am seeing ahead is not good. We are going to be shipwrecked. We are going to lose everything and possibly our lives." Paul, a prisoner, telling the people in the ship. Okay? What did they do? "Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things that Paul had spoken." Now, pause a minute. You're going through things in life. You have lost everything. Let's say a prisoner, okay? Not prisoner, but in that sense. Before, when you speak, everybody would listen to you. They would say, "Let's wait for Ajimwene." You'd speak, and everybody would say, yes. Even when you know what I'm saying is not making sense, but everybody would say, yeah, because they have said it, when everything was fine. Now, but now you have nothing. Just like Paul, you don't have a voice. When you speak, nobody listens to you. Ever happened to you? They even tell you that, Brother Matt, wait for people to speak. Can you please sit down? And you're like, am I no longer a person? If you say we should wait for people to speak, who is me? What is me? Now they are simply putting you in your own place. And Martin says sometimes they tell you, no, it's not time for you to beg. So please sit down. Paul is advising them, guided by God. But they don't listen to him simply because he's a prisoner. But this prisoner is carrying the voice of God. This prisoner is being told and spoken to by God. Sometimes we are despised because of where we are. We speak the voice of God, but just because of the place we are. Everybody says, we thank God, hallelujah. We'll think about it. But what I'm telling you is that, I don't think the Lord will speak to you. It feels really painful sometimes, eh? But if it is God ordaining it, it's all right. And in the journey, as the ship is wrecked, Paul stands and says, "But I told you. I told you that this is going to happen. But anyway, because of God's mercy, none of us is going to die. And nobody died." They started so well in that nice spot as they were going on to their trip to Italy. But in the middle of the sea, so many things happened. Verse number 13, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous heat wind arose called..." Now, this is the name of that wind. Eulocleodon. Wow, a very nice name for a wind. "So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, We secured the skiff with much difficulty. And so many things are happening on their journey. And what you see is that the ship is ripped into pieces. They begin to throw things into the sea, wheat, throwing them into the sea. The similar experience with Brother Jonah, remember? They said, maybe let's reduce weight in the ship so that at least we can, you know, it was a tactic back in the days. It was a tactic just to throw things away so that we can at least be spared. But the ship is not intact anymore. The once beautiful ship is ripped into pieces and everything is gone. Amen. The same way sometimes we start our journey of salvation, and singing, we are marching over. We don't sing that song again. To what? To Jerusalem. But on our way to Jerusalem, are we still going to Jerusalem? Well, we mean heaven, yeah? So we are marching over to Jerusalem. Everything seems so nice until something happened along the way and you realize it is the brother, like Joseph, huh? Who would actually put you in the pit. But I've said, if it is part of God's plan, it is okay. Amen. Amen. It is ordained by the Lord. It is ordained by the Lord. Now, as I end, because of time, so amazing. Chapter 28, verse number 1, I'll just quickly read on down, and trust the Lord will make something out to you. Now, when they had escaped, the ship is wrecked, everything is gone, they have lost everything. In the process of the ship being broken, you know, someone say, no prisoner should dive into the sea, because now they're going to escape, you know. They're going to run away. What will my bosses say? My brother, we are in the middle of the sea. The ship is no longer there. Yeah. It is now a matter of life and death. We have already lost everything. But thank God for Julius, who said, no. Allow them to use whatever they use, as long as they don't go away. Amen? So that's how they make it to the land after they spend the entire night. On the water, they are cold and shivering, and it's not even rosy, it's not even nice. And the Bible says they found out that island was called Malta. So now, water, it's now in the morning, and now they know, oh, now we're in Malta, we don't have ship. We are now left only with pieces of the ship that they use now to cling onto until they land on an island called Malta. And the natives showed them unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now imagine it's raining and the ship has been ripped apart and everybody is shivering in this cold. It is not nice. But remember what God taught Paul, says, I want you to testify even before Caesar. And this is the path that God has chosen for him. Amen. But when Paul had gathered a band of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat. You'd think that the storm was fine. You'd think that the shipping wreck was okay. But now there's a snake, even after the storm. And see here what is happening there. And when the native saw, okay, because the snake bit his hand, when the native saw the creature hanging, now this is a funny depiction. Picture Paul, okay, his hand with a snake. And the natives are seeing the snake hanging on his hand. And they are saying, they say to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. I don't blame them. It happens every now and then. You can understand my initial trials, temptations, and hard times. But when it is prolonged, you say, maybe you have sinned. It also happened to Job. He said, Job, maybe it doesn't happen like this. So check yourself. Maybe, brother, you have sinned. Now justice, God's justice is happening. He's a prisoner. They were in the ship. Because he's a sinner, the ship is wrecked. Now God showed him mercy. He's now on the island. Now see, God is sending a snake to deal with him. He must be a murderer. Amen. But amazingly, God is still ordaining that pit. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Now, I will end my preaching here, and I think I'm going to preach in detail. I wanted just to highlight something here. After the shipwreck, the ship is broken into pieces. They use the pieces to get to the island. They discover its Malta. And they are caught. It is raining. The people are very kind to them. They make fire. probably, it's not written there, but probably they are using the same pieces they clung into of the ship to make this fire. It could be. There's a possibility. Okay? There's a possibility. When they make this fire, they are keeping themselves warm. Amen. Forget about them keeping themselves warm. Maybe the Lord is allowing us to go through all the brokenness so that we may be able to use the pieces to put up fire for God.
Amen.
So that now we are able to be kindled even much more.
Amen.
The same pieces of our brokenness, that He can use them to set us on fire.
Amen.
Because He knows when everything is okay, we are becoming very slippery. So He says, maybe why don't we break this ship? And then He will think that the fires of my brokenness, the pieces of my brokenness, can be used to set me on fire for God. And it happens so much that most of the time, that it is through our brokenness that we begin to discover ourselves in the Lord. It is through our brokenness that most of the time we begin to call on the name of the Lord in truth. Most of the time, it is the time that we don't have a job, that we are seeking the Lord and we are crying. It is the time that we go to the mountain. Right now, when everything is fine, going to Bunda, going to mountain, we need to negotiate on our. But when things are not going well, you begin to find yourself putting the pieces and putting fire for God. Maybe that's where God is taking us to gather our pieces together and make fire, so that we can be on fire for Jesus, so that we can be set on fire for God. Maybe that's why He's been doing all these things, so that He can push us to there. The natives say, this guy is a murderer. This guy must have done something wrong. Why is it that everything bad is happening to him? They don't know what the Lord is doing. And if you read that scripture, because of time we didn't read it, they said, maybe he's a goddess, or maybe he's a god. Because how come can this poisonous snake bite him and he doesn't die? Maybe he went to Ansinganga. There's no way he would live. There's no way he would survive. Maybe he's using some charms. But it is God behind it all. So your brokenness is not there to stop you. It is there to push you to where God is taking you to. And it is in matters and moments of our brokenness where we realize greatness. When Jesus was broken, pushed to the cross, it is when His resurrection happened. If Jesus was not hung on the cross, He wouldn't have resurrected. How can a live person resurrect? Because resurrection denotes death. And Peter meeting him somewhere, people are asking him, this one was with him. Peter says, who? Me? No. I don't know this man. Now, most of the time we laugh at Peter for saying he doesn't know Jesus. But think about it for a moment. He had never seen Jesus beaten to that level. He had never seen Jesus in blood. All he saw was a clean Jesus casting out devils, healing the sick, walking on water majestically. He had never seen Jesus being subjected to pain. And this time Jesus has been beaten. His face has been configured. If you read Isaiah 53, you understand what I'm saying. And he's not even recognized. And then Peter says, no, I don't know him. The Jesus I know heals people. The Jesus I know raised the dead. The Jesus I know walks on water. This man, I don't know him. Somehow I'm having empathy for Peter now. When I go there, I'll apologize. I didn't judge you fairly. But maybe that's what happened. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is in our path, through our brokenness, that the Lord stands with us.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.